Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And here's the bread, and here's the wine. And the bread reminds us that no man spake like the man Jesus. And there's a reason for that. The life and mission of the Lord Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures to a very detailed extent. And as He, Jesus, was steeped in the knowledge of these prophecies, the record of His own biography was laid out before Him from beginning to end, before it came to pass. As He studied Jesus, as He studied the Psalms, the prophets, and the writings of Moses, He would be able to discern His mission, His sufferings, His death, His resurrection, His glorious destiny as the world's future king. Thus He was able, by beginning at Moses and all the prophets, to expound unto the disciples and others in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. As He studied the Psalms, the prophets, and the writings, He studied. And what did He speak about? He spoke about the kingdom and the way to it. That's why no other man spake like the man Jesus. Also, we have here wine, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. So let us look back and remember that life, Yahweh's Son, which was provided, lived, and given. Yahweh provided the life. Jesus lived that life and gave that life for the express purpose of overcoming sin and death. This was accomplished perfectly by Jesus. He overcame His sin nature by serving Yahweh faithfully even unto the shedding of His own blood and a cruel death. He who was made sin controlled that sin nature, committing no personal sin, living a life of serving His Father. Therefore, He was without spot or blemish, and was qualified to be that sacrifice required for Adam's transgression and all sin that resulted from that transgression. All who approach Yahweh through this crucified but risen representative of Adam's disobedient race are forgiven. His blood cleanses from sin. The bread and the wine. The bread and the wine. Oh, the depths of the meaning of these two emblems. We should strive to understand and appreciate them until the blessings of endless life is ours. So, until then, we gather here to remember, and by so doing, we should remain on that road that leadeth unto life. Let's turn in our Bibles. I want to look at three verses. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction. Think about that. For our light affliction. And we do have affliction in this life. We suffer it. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. Keep that in your mind. Now let's go to Romans 8:18. Go back to Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which shall be what? Revealed in who? Us. Do you believe that that's possible? Did somebody set an example for us? Let's go to Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now let's think about our afflictions. Let's think about our sufferings. Now let's consider Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. 6,000 years ago, Yahweh created this earth. And I know all of you have seen on televisions when the astronauts show what they look, what they see when they look back at the earth. Is it not a beautiful thing? Yes. And they talk about how beautiful it is. So out of the material things of the universe, God set in order something of beauty. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, and we don't have time to look it up, it states that God hath made everything beautiful in His time. God has made everything beautiful in His time. And the crown of His work was who? Man. Out of the dust of the ground was fashioned in His image and after His likeness. An image soon to become sadly disfigured, and a likeness overlaid with something which became fashioned according to man's own lust. Then like the poet, think about a poet, who out of the letters which make words fashions something beautiful. So God sent forth a man born of a woman, yet in very truth his only begotten Son, the brightness of his glory. There's that word again, glory. The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He was the Alpha and Omega, the A to Z of God's purpose, the very Word expressed in human form. And we beheld his glory, the apostles and the disciples in his day. They beheld the glory of Jesus, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? What was he full of when he was on the earth? He was full of the grace and the truth of Yahweh. Is that not a beautiful thing? God's purpose was to bring... Do you remember Brother Jack's words last night? God's purpose was to bring many sons unto glory. All you brothers and sisters, put your hands on your chest. This is flesh and blood with a heart beating in it. Now think about it. And think about, you know, I've mentioned the word glory quite a few times today. God's purpose was to bring many sons unto glory, men and women of flesh and blood, who, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, who, because of his gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ, could become partakers of the divine nature. Brothers and sisters, is that not a beautiful thing? A beautiful thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, by Jesus Christ, by that word that Jesus spoke, by the blood that he shed, and hath given to us, you and me, the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he hath made known him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that what? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. Is that not a glorious position to be in, brothers and sisters? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A thing of beauty. Thus the people. The people, brothers and sisters, that's us, redeemed by God's grace in Christ Jesus, to become His very own, His sons and daughters, His family, like Jack was talking about last night, a peculiar treasure. That's what we're supposed to be to Yahweh, a peculiar treasure. Now, listen to this. These people, these brothers and sisters in Christ, should be truly beautiful in their holiness and gracious in not only their speech, not only our speech, but also our actions. Speech and actions. We should be striving to be truly beautiful in our holiness and gracious in our speech and our actions. In hope. You remember that word glory? It was in those three verses that we read earlier. In hope of eventually having their vile body changed. Remember, I asked you to put your hand on your body. This body of flesh with blood running through it and a heart pumping it. Having their vile body changed to become fashioned like unto His glorious body, the perfect expression of God in them as He was in Christ. For they are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We shall be like Him, pure in heart and sinless. But His redeeming mercy ends not there. These bodies, like to His, shall then be fashioned. And we, His resurrection, there's that word again, glory. Glory. Do you get it? We, His resurrection glory, share. Is that not a beautiful thing? Is that not a beautiful thing? With these thoughts in our mind, let's have our memorial hymn.